So just to recap what you've been telling us, since about 100 years, and I think of John D. Rockefeller, Standard Oil, and things that we're familiar with here in our current history, which is really yesterday. It's a blink of the eye. The family that Rockefeller established is still at the top of the pile. There was this tremendous expansion of economic development through technology, through all the increased possibilities of transportation, communication, all of it resting on this oil source of
Correct.
energy and the electrical technology that is built on that and on natural gas. And what you're saying is that at the year 2000, we hit the peak of the curve, the
Yes.
high point from which there is no more going up. It now
Correct.
starts to go down, and
Correct.
it goes down in increments, but in some ways, especially with natural gas, it goes down abruptly. Now, this was accurately predicted in the 60s.
King Hubbert, M. King Hubbert.
He hit it on the nose, year 2000.
Bingo.
Quite remarkable. So it's not surprising news, and insiders in the industry must know this.
Yes.
And they must have known it for a long time.
I recently attended a conference in Paris in May of 2003, sponsored by the Association for the Study of Peak Oil, and it was held at the l'Institut du Pétrole Français, the French Institute of Petroleum. Government people came from all over the world. Some people from oil companies, but mostly oil scientists and academicians who had been documenting all this. And yes, it's been known, and this is the thing that people like the neocons, or even the people who would like to replace the neocons in the White House, the Democratic challengers, somehow don't know how to tell the people about
it. And this is the point I'm leading towards, that you mentioned in the information we had from you 2 years ago, Brzezinski's book.
That was a 1997 publication.
Right.
4 years before 9/11.
This map that we are in the middle of now was clearly printed, laid out. This is what needs to be done, and we're in the middle of the steps that were outlined in that publication, which predates by 4 years at least.
Yes. Brzezinski did not really mention peak oil. He didn't dare in that publication, but he had a map where the next world conflict was going to be 4 years before 9/11. It circled Afghanistan, Pakistan, the Caspian Basin, Iraq, all of the Middle East. And he said it at three separate points in that book that without an attack on the order of Pearl Harbor, unless the American people were threatened externally, they would not support the, quote, imperial mobilization necessary to control the region.
So in a way, the American public and world public by extension, we are passengers in a plane which is being piloted by a few people.
Lunatics.
In government. And they know that this plane is flying straight towards a wall.
Yes.
Now, are they in denial by not bringing this up because it's inevitably going to become known? Or are they simply protecting their own interests? Wouldn't it, if you or I were flying the plane and we knew what is known, what you've just put out, wouldn't we generally call a world halt and say, listen, here's the reality of the situation. We're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to just blithely dance forward until the floor collapses under us? Or do we want to make the best possible steps now to come out with the best outcome? We don't even know, I'm going to ask you in a bit what you think the possible outcome is, but do we want to start taking measures now to adjust our habits and adjust our structures and our business and social systems so that we will not fly straight into the wall immediately?
That's what any sane human being would do.
Right. Now, is it denial or is it evil that's going on in the cockpit?
I would say it's a combination of an incredible mental illness, denial, and evil. Clearly, when you understand that there's never going to be a hydrogen-powered F-16 or a solar-powered aircraft carrier, that U.S. military hegemony, that the world order as it has existed for several thousand years, based upon military superiority, is not sustainable without hydrocarbon energy. Then you understand the threat to the system, to an economic system which I believe is utterly corrupt to begin with. I mean, $600 billion a year in drug money laundered through Wall Street. That's why drugs are illegal and why the CIA controls the drug trade. I can easily sit back and see someone like Henry Kissinger saying,
well, the problem is not that there's too little oil. The problem is just that there are too many people.
And hence we have seen this horrible fixation on biological warfare since 9/11. Anthrax, smallpox, SARS. Very draconian measures in the Homeland Security Act, which coupled with existing laws now gives the government the right to forcibly vaccinate people against their will, to incarcerate them and criminally prosecute them for refusing the vaccines, even though the vaccines do not have to be tested for efficacy before they are used. We've had a number of people drop dead from the smallpox vaccine. And the Homeland Security measure actually immunizes, that's a good word, the vaccine makers from legal liability when people start dropping dead from their vaccines. I wrote a very long research report on SARS, which has a very specific origin. In one sense, SARS could have been anything, and it was very much manipulated. But within SARS, I believe that there is very possibly some bioengineered gene-specific or other kind of bioweapon. And we're being prepared, and I published my article on SARS, I believe, in February or March. It was a long report on the website From the Wilderness. And I said, be very careful, because they've laid the seeds for a renewed outbreak of SARS come the fall and winter, and we're already starting to see those reports. So, again, there's fear, terrorism, but it is inevitable that at some point they're going to have to reduce world population. And it is fair to say that as oil runs out, no matter who's in charge, the population is going to be reduced one way or the other. We have spent a very large amount of time researching. I have a contributing editor for oil and gas or for energy issues, Dale Allen Pfeiffer, who is a geologist. And he and I have spent a very long amount of time evaluating alternative energy sources. And the picture is not good. Most people jump very immaturely and without thinking to, oh, we'll just switch to something else and I can continue to live my current lifestyle. Impossible. Two things people don't think about are the infrastructure changes. If you've got to replace 600 million internal combustion vehicles, where are you going to build the plants to build 600 million new X type of vehicles that run on something else? Who's going to pay for that? How long is it going to take? Are you going to throw people out of work while you do that? How do you replace the pipelines, the gas stations? Infrastructure changes are absolutely enormous, and they all have to be paid for. But there is no alternative energy source anywhere, or combination thereof, that replaces hydrocarbon energy in the current model. Nothing will allow us to continue our current lifestyles.